Okay, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 21. And we're starting kind of a new phase here. This is, this relates to the things that disqualify one from being a priest. Chapter 21. And there are 12 things mentioned here. We won't get to all of them tonight, but we'll see how far we do get. Leviticus chapter 21. And let's begin reading in verse 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, whoever he is of the seed of thy seed, now this is of Aaron's seed, meaning of the Levitical tribe, whosoever he is of thy seed in their generations who hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. And whatsoever man he is that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. And then it begins to name these blemishes. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man who is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or broken or crooked back, or a dwarf, or hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man who hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come near to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come near unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel. All right, so we understand a certain reality with the Lord. Certain things in relationship to the offering. For example, Debbie, come up here just for a minute. And let's see. John, you're always a good one. Stand on this side. Well, he's helped me out quite a bit in Mexico and other times. Okay, if we're talking about an offering, now we have an offering and we have a priest. If we're talking about an offering, if we're going to offer a lamb, then we understand that it has to be without blemish, right? The lamb has to be without blemish. So, to make sure, the priest would check out the lamb and make sure that there was no blemish. And, you know, not just some, I mean, there were even a slight blemish disqualified that lamb from being a sacrificial lamb. Right? We all know that, don't we? And we know the real meaning behind that, and that is, if we're blemished, we're already disqualified. So we're not what's offered. Does that make sense? Jesus is the only thing the Father will accept. So all the sacrifice in the world isn't going to hack it, is it? You know, I mean, we can be a blemished offering and offer our hands because there is no blemish on our hands. But if there's a blemish anywhere else on us, that disqualifies us. We are not what? If we have a blemish, we are not the Lamb of God. It's clear. If it's not Jesus, it's, well, as they say in Scotland, if it's not Jesus, it's crap. If it's not Jesus, it doesn't qualify. You know, the nice words. If it's not Jesus, it doesn't qualify. So in our walk, we, you know, at some stage in our walk, we begin to discover these things. So we quit trying to offer ourselves. We quit trying to offer what's blemished, and we only want to give the Father His Lamb, the one Lamb that is accepted. And that comes by Christ in us, so that we are the body of the Lamb. We are the body of the groom, which is the Lamb of God, right? Have you seen, the scripture say, have you seen the bride of Jesus? No, it doesn't say that. Have you seen the bride of the Lamb? And so we are the body of the Lamb through which He gives Himself. It's not about us being committed in that sense, you understand. We are committed to be His body, or we are committed to be His vehicle, or we are committed that we express Christ, not just in the earth, but that the Father get the Lamb. So we all sort of understand that, amen? All right, you've been a good lamb, thank you. However, we have a priest over here, and we were just given information in relationship to the priest that there is a disqualification. There were 12 things mentioned, but they're all one thing. A blemish. Amen? They're all one thing, basically, and that is the priest cannot be blemished. So we have the reality that the lamb, the offering, cannot be blemished. It has to be the true Lamb of God. Amen? Well, our eyes are being opened to the reality that the priest can't be blemished either. It has to be the true High Priest of God. It can't be us. It can't be us because we are blemished, because we do fall short. So the realization, the revelation of the thing begins to be that even not just what I offer, but the one who's offering is not bound up in himself like he's some great person because I'm giving to God. Have you ever been real proud of yourself because you gave something to God, you know, and you felt like, oh, I know that God is pleased with me now. But you see, instead of him just looking at your gift, number one, he does check out your gift. Is it the Lamb of God? But number two, he checks you out to see if you're blemished. Because why? The only ones that are allowed to offer is an unblemished priest. Now, have you ever heard this saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? All. Yeah, that sort of disqualifies all of us then, doesn't it? But God has blessed us in that He has given us His Son. Now, here's our idea. He's given us His Son as an offering 2,000 years ago to get me off the hook. I mean, isn't that really the general, generic comprehension of He's given us His Son? He gave me Jesus, not necessarily personally, other than I accepted personally. He gave me Jesus 2,000 years ago, and I accept what He did for me, and that benefits me today. You see what I'm saying? But there's way more to it than that. Because then, if He's going to expect the offering, if He's going to expect the giving of this, if He's going to expect the giving of the Lamb, He's going to expect it to be given by the priest. Because once He established His priesthood, nobody has a right to offer anything except the priest. So when it says He gave us His Son, what does that mean? In real terms, what does that mean? in practical terms. It means also that he gave us Christ as the Lamb and as the Lamb Spirit. It also means he gave us the one who wants to give. One of the big identifications of the Lord, one of the first identifications of the Lord that you and I learned was John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. He offered. He offered. He offered his son. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, we can see that. We see that in type and shadow. We see that in type and shadow with, say, Abraham offering Isaac. And we say, Abraham, what a great man of God. God said to him, take now thy son, thine only son, the son whom thou lovest, and bring him to Mount Moriah and offer him there. And we see this great man, Abraham, saying, yes, Lord. And he goes and he gets to the place and he's going to offer up his son. But folks, greater than that story, trying to communicate to us how great Abraham is, it's trying to show us that not only the son was given, but the father was given. And that not only that, but the father offered, the father gave his son, offered as a priest. And so we begin to see, we see the cost of Jesus as the Lamb. Cost him his life, cost him having to come down from glory and be, you know, walk as a man, all these things. But few of us comprehend the Father. And the Father giving, and the words are perfect there. Take now thy son, thine only son, thy son whom thou lovest. Ooh, this Abraham represents the Father giving his son, offering his son. Why? For God so loved that he gave his son. Do you see what I'm saying when I say that? God loved and gave, offered his son. See, a lot of times we only see the son side of everything because that's what immediately benefits us. Oh, God gave Jesus so I wouldn't have to die. Well, the real truth is God gave Jesus so you would die. I mean, so it would be an actual, real death. Paul said it as clear as you can say it. I crucified. I am, you know. See, Jesus is the great I am. So we're not. So when we say I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that's not the end. Christ liveth continually in me. And so you begin to discover, and you begin to discover the heart of an offerer. You know, the Father gave what he loved the most. You see why Abraham's offering was so precious to God? Because he gave what he loved the most. And God gives, you know, let's just put it this way. God doesn't give junk. Years ago, we used to have a clothing room. We had a clothing room and we would give away clothes and shoes and all sorts of stuff. And we did that for years and years and years. And it was a real blessing. Mike Wallace ran it for a good long while. But when we first started, I said, now we're going to start a clothing room and we're going to have not just clothes, but we'll have other things that we'll give away to people that are really in need. So I want you to, you know, I want you to go through your stuff and bring some stuff for the clothing room. That's been 20 some odd years ago. Go through your stuff and bring some stuff for the clothing room. So, oh man, we ended up with big piles of stuff. We started going through it and it was the junkiest stuff you ever saw. It was stuff they didn't want to wear. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was junk. It was stuff. I don't want this. I wouldn't be caught dead in this. You know, these shoes are worn out. So I'm going to give them and it's going to be a precious gift from my heart. Is anybody catching the difference between a true priest who will give and do it in the right spirit and give their best, not just what they didn't want anyway? I mean, I've been in the ministry for 30 some odd years and I've seen people get saved and they say, I remember one guy said, you came up to the altar and we're praying, and everything. And he said, I'm going to give God my cigarettes. I thought, God don't want your cigarettes. He don't smoke. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he don't want your cigarettes. I'm going to give him my cigarettes and I'm going to give him my filthy words. And we're really going, oh man, I'm really doing something for God, giving him the worst trash of my life. No, he wants more than all the junk that you're getting rid of. He wants your best. In that clothing situation, I came back and, I held up a few things in front of the church. Anybody would wear this? Anybody here would wear this? No. Well, that's what we're giving to the poor because we're so generous. I said, I want you to gather your trash up and go burn it. And I said, if you have to, go to the store and buy something that you would really like. And let's give our best. Let's give something that'll bless people instead of, junk that they have to wear because they can't afford to go buy a good shirt, even at Walmart. Let's go buy something good and give it to them. Well, that's not me or anything. That's the priest himself, the Father, the Son, as high priest, lives in us. And God gave us the ability to do beyond what is us. To give more than junk, to go more than the first mile, to not just be able to, be slapped and not retaliate, but literally turn the other cheek. Now that doesn't come by you. You are a blemished priest. The proof of that is, see, if I had this all planned, and then I say, well, let's just pray for a minute. While you're praying, I had somebody come from the back and they sneak up behind you and just slap you on the back of the head. What the heck, I'd say, no, we got a blemished priest here. Okay. We got another one over here, and I would never do that. I use these things as pictures to help us comprehend something, but I would never do that. You are probably wise, for I too am a blemished priest. However, is it not true that the true priest is in every one of us? And that spirit of offering, that spirit of saying, because we do this, we go, there are people in this room right here that you've given a lot to God in terms of your life and in terms of, what you do and maybe even your money and stuff like that. There are people that have done that, but there are people right here in this room that are afraid to get too close to God because they're afraid he's going to point out something that they don't want to give him right now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so they're kind of going, it's like, I love you, Lord, but they're standing over, back over here, And they think if they get too close, he's going to really look into their heart and go, oh, I see what it is you really love. Give me that. Am I right or wrong? I mean, that's human nature. That's us. That shouldn't be hard to admit. We're all that way. You're not alone. You may be thinking, oh my God, I'm the only one that really is holding out from God. No, you're not. Everyone in this room is holy but me. Everyone in this room has had that thought. Everyone in this room is holy but me. Everyone in this room has had that thought. That all these other blemished priest are something special compared to you that hold back. I got news for you. We all are not the high priest himself. We're not the one that knows how to offer from the heart. We're not the one that moves with no fear. Without fear, I give you this.
It
is, what does the scripture say of Jesus? Jesus said this, I do always those things that please the Lord. You may do 75%. And that would be considered really good. Yeah. But, yeah, I guess in the old days that was a D. Thank God it was a D+. It wasn't a, But I mean, that's what you may give and you may feel good about yourself. Stop it. Stop feeling good about yourself. You say, are you promoting poor self-image? I don't need to. The way you live ought to convince you of that, but that's between you and God. But the truth is, there's no need to puff up something that is, diseased. The best thing to do is instead of fighting it, just admit it. Admit it and say, but there is an answer. And the answer is outside of me, but he's in me. It's outside of me in that it's not me. It's in me in that it is him who God put in me. And what I cannot do, oh, thank you, Jesus, for these words, he can. What is impossible with man, what is not possible for man is possible with God. That's what the Lord said once. Well, how can anybody be saved? How in the world can this happen? What's impossible with you is not impossible with God. Well, we always go, okay, so we're these earthlings down here and God's way up there, and what's impossible to us, God can do a miracle. He's talking about greater than God doing a miracle for a bunch of, diseased priests. He is not trying to heal your disease. He's trying to replace you. I don't want to be replaced. There we go. I don't want to be replaced. I'm afraid somebody's going to replace me. My biggest fear is that somebody will come along and replace me. Come on, please, take it. It doesn't scare me at all. I think it would be good for somebody to do it for a while just to see, how quickly they'll hand it back, You don't have to be, you don't have to worry about being replaced. You know what I mean? God's given you the grace for who you are and where you are, but he's also given you the life of grace that can do it. Thank God. His name is Jesus. He's not beautiful because he saved me. He's beautiful because he saves me every day from me, from my fears, from my carnal mind, from my diseased ways. And he draws me unto himself, and then he joins me. Woo! That's just, I call that good news. But only a diseased person will call that good news. Are you diseased? Are you blemished? Then if you are, there's good news. There's good news. The priest lives in you. And he will offer. And let's put it this way. He will give. Now, we talked about this with Melchizedek. He will give and give and give and give and give and give and give, expecting nothing in return. If he gets something, oh, how blessed. But here's the old saying in churchianity today. Give and you shall receive. I know that's in the scripture, and I believe that. I believe if you give, you will receive. But they're making the basis for giving, not the priest himself, but receiving. So give and you'll get. Oh, well, I know I want to get. Covetousness works big in me. I thank God for this scripture because this really promotes covetousness in me. I think I'm going to give. Yeah, sure. And it's a work of a diseased priest. You know, trying to give so we can get something. But Jesus, and Jesus is the one who said this, give, asking nothing in return. Let me tell you, I want to encourage every one of you to this week to look to the priest within you and find a situation where you can give expecting nothing in return. I would like, that's your homework. I'm not going to follow up next week and go, well, what'd you do? Because if I do that, you'll go, well, let me tell you what I did. My God, you know, it's promoting the very thing I'm trying to get rid of. So there won't be any follow up on this. I'm just going to ask you to remember, maybe write it down so that you'll remember and take it with you and look for an opportunity between now and next Thursday to give expecting nothing in return and to do it by the priest that is within you who gladly offers to God. It's his life. The life of a priest is to offer. The life of a priest is to offer unto God, just to give. Okay, so that's going to tell, you know, I think I wrote something here. This means that only letting Christ come out qualifies us to minister as a priest. Only letting Christ come out qualifies because that's the only one not diseased, not blemished. To not do so, to not let Christ come out, meant that we were priests in name only and not living it. Okay. Well, isn't it funny that the true living of it is the life? The living of anything is going to take a life. And the life is Christ. That's different. Because we're all trying to live it. Anybody ever gotten under condemnation because you're not living it? You know. Don't get in condemnation. Just join the tribe of the diseased priest. And then ask for the great high priest himself to come manifest himself through you. The power of an endless life. Praise God. Praise God. What a benefit. What a beautiful thing. All right. So you notice in the scriptures that we were reading, well, before I read that, keep your place here in Leviticus 21. But let me just go to Romans 12 and read one scripture here, or actually a couple of verses. This is Romans 12, verse 1. We'll just read 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, it always does good to dissect the scriptures, meaning to take little pieces of it and examine it and another piece until you get the whole. The first thing that pops out to me is that we're supposed to present our bodies, and it says holy and acceptable unto God. Okay, now, the only acceptable priest and the only acceptable sacrifice is Christ. Am I right or wrong? Okay. Is the giving of our bodies to the work of God or to God an acceptable sacrifice? That's right, it's not. And that's not what this scripture is saying. That the giving of your bodies and your body, you give your body and you give yours, you give yours, and you give yours, and you give yours, and God's going to accept it. The only acceptable sacrifice is Christ. So what is it saying? It says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. First of all, it doesn't say, You know, here's the way we'd read this. In the name of all that is holy and merciful, I'm asking you to give your body to God. For the love of all that is holy, please. That's the way we read that. But that's not what he's doing. In the name of all that is merciful, would you please just give your body? That's not what he's doing. He's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your by, not in the name of the mercies, not, you know, have mercy, but by mercy. Well, what is that mercy? It's explaining it here. Now, you remember what we read in Leviticus, and we'll go back there and look at it a little more closely in just a minute. But twice in just a few scriptures there, it talks about an unqualified priest. And one of the things it says is that you are able to eat the bread, but you cannot offer it. You cannot go behind the veil. You cannot go to the altar and give. All you can do is eat it, right? It's talking about bread. And it's interesting, isn't it, that we've had a lot of sharing recently on bread. And it's interesting that that subject would be so big in relationship to qualifications for a priest. Isn't it? It's interesting. That's mentioned right here, but not in so many words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. There's that word. And here's one little piece of chalk here. Bodies. Bodies is plural. But here's the sacrifice that it's talking about. Your body's a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, which is singular. Am I right or wrong? Look at the scripture. It's saying, present, it's not telling you to give your body to God in the sense of go serve God with your body. It's talking about bread. It's talking about present your bodies, present your individual seeds as one sacrifice, which is acceptable to God. Well, what would that be? Come on, help me. It might be Jesus. It might be present yourself as his body, not his bodies. Wow. Well, that's different. You know, people have been preaching this for years, trying to get people to be more sacrificial. When God is trying to make you less sacrificial and more the vehicle, the body of his sacrificial nature. Does that make sense? He's basically saying the opposite of what people are saying. What people are saying is, give your body and you give your body and you give your body. And he's saying, don't give your body in that way. Give your body put all your seeds into that bowl and let me grind them up. I always do that when I watch. Comes loose. That always happens when I'm beating on Deb. It just comes loose. If you believe that. That's why my eyes get black all the time. And so he's saying, take all of those individuals and stop it. Stop being an individual that's given to God. Start being the vessel of the one who is given to God. Can I get an amen from somebody? Be a body of the one priest, of the one lamb. Don't be conformed to this world, which is a bunch of individuals working at General Motors, each of them competing with one another, trying to get a raise, trying to get a position above everybody else, trying to get more money so they can get more things. Don't be conformed to the world as a bunch of individuals, but be transformed from the individual seed into broken up and cooked and made into bread. Doesn't that look tasty? A loaf of bread. Lose the individual seed form and become the body of the offerer. Become the body of the offering and let him give through you. Let him have the spirit of it and you be the vehicle of it. See? Well, go back to Leviticus, and like I said, we'll see this in chapter 21 here. As I said, in verse 20, let's just read 21 again through 24. This is Leviticus 21 through 24. No man who hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come near to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. Do you see how absolutely clear that is? You're blemished. You can't do it. Sorry. Disqualified. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Why? Because part of his blemish is, and this is what we'll see in these blemishes, is he's got things that makes him an individual. He's got things that make him strive, you know, the good old American way, competition and, you know, consumerism and everybody striving to have the best job, have the best car, you know, have the, you know, you've heard the phrase, keep up with the Joneses. Who are these people anyway? Why would I be, you know, do you understand? I don't even know them. So what do I care what they live in or drive or, you know what I mean? I don't care. I care about what Jesus gives me. That's what I care about. And if he gives me a car, then I care about that. I remember we were going through a hard time financially and we were down to one car and it was limping. And the Lord gave me a car. It was the most beat up looking thing you ever saw, but it ran. Now I could have quit all the things I was doing, just gone out and worked for a while and got me a nice car. I mean, I could have done that. Do you understand? I mean, you can do that at any time. But that was the car God gave me. I mean, it was ugly. It smoked when you drove it. The seats were torn. It was an eyesore from a good distance away. The next week, I got invited to a big pastor conference in Arlington, Texas. And the way that this parking lot was, the door was like back at there, and this was the parking lot where everybody could see you when you pulled up. And I come, and I remember while I was driving there, I was going, thank you, Jesus, for this car. I wouldn't even be able to attend this thing if you hadn't given me this car. And I was so thankful until I pulled up and saw all these men arriving at the same time. And I, idiot that I was, I turned right into the front row thing. So they're all while they're walking in looking at this car and everything. And I remember driving off to the corner, the far corner, and sitting there for a few minutes in incredible embarrassment over what God had given me. And then I remember sitting there in shame at my embarrassment and thinking, what the heck am I doing, man? This was a gift from God. I should be so thankful for this. If it wasn't this, you know, I can't go do hardly anything. And I remember by the time I got out of that car, I was right. I slammed that door and I walked in and I was thankful to Jesus. I didn't walk in going, I'm so embarrassed, you know. Yeah, that was me. I'm the only idiot that can't trust God for a good car or whatever. And you know what? Since then, God has given me cars and they've been good. But he wanted me to learn something about myself. Amen? And I tell you what, you know, I mean, I realize that most of you have experienced that. I mean, not anyone around here has too much money or whatever. We've all experienced stuff like that. But the Bible says if you're faithful with what is least, he'll give you more. Faithful involves thankful. Do you agree? And what he gives is precious and should be honored. Even if in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of other Christians or in the eyes of your family, even if they look down at you because the few things that you have, you got from the Lord. You didn't go out and gain it by your flesh and your strength. We were talking about this the other day. I forget who I was talking to, but I was talking about my house and what's in my house. And I said, you know, Deb and I have walked in such a way with the Lord that we just almost everything in the house we can point to. And there's a story about the Lord behind it. I love that. I mean, I like going, now the Lord, da 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 da, this and that. And it's not all, you know, miracles or whatever, but there's a story behind it. And this, the Lord, I remember the time he did this and that. And it's a joy because, you know, it's, and this has happened, you know, people have come into my home and gone, you know, you're one of the leaders of Christ's life. No. I remember people coming here to the conference and just going, my God, I thought, you know, they pulled into Denton, went into UNT over there and thought that was Acts Bible School. Yeah. And when they were told it wasn't, they drove over here and got out and went, oh my God, this is it. I was told this story by the person. This is it? And walked around in here and went into depression and went and half of the conference hid in the bedroom for shame that this was the height of what, you know, knowing Jesus is. Until they began to slowly slip out. Found somebody sitting on the stage, sat down beside him, and that person began to just tell, not knowing anything, tell of the minutest things that God had done for them and how thankful they were. And that happened 3 times, so much so until this person finally went back to that room, fell on their face and went, my God, I'm so sorry. I see it now. I see the beauty of the place. You know? And some of, I mean, I was thinking, you know, you think this is bad now? You should have seen it when we you should have seen it when we first got it, man. I mean, this place is the Garden of Eden compared to So I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, people are gonna love it, and then they walk on and go, my God, this is it, you know. There is that high priest, there is that offerer that lives in us. There is that lamb who is the offering. And everything is precious. Everything is special. Everything has meaning. You know, that's the meaning of the word perverse, like in Proverbs. It means, you know, a perverse man or perverse things. It's not some, you know, sexual pervert going, you know, and us going, oh, there's a perverse man. That's what a lot of people think when they read it. It simply means that what they do has no meaning. Much of what they do has no meaning to God. It has not, the things that they do have not been redeemed. Redeemed and brought in. So that, you know, one person around here can say, well, you know, I'm tired of doing without her. I'm tired. I don't have this or that. Or another person can say, this is the most wonderful opportunity for Christ to live in me. And I'm so blessed. You know, what's the difference? The difference is the person, which is not the person, but Christ or us. You know, it is. And I'm telling you, this word is very valid. The word precious. Precious. That means that the things that were secular, things that were, had no meaning, things that might even been wrong, all of a sudden, they're precious because they're redeemed by the Lord. I mean, really redeemed. I mean, they're full of meaning. They're full of value. Value to you, but only to you. Because you're the idiot that has found the Lord in this way. Do you understand what I mean? You're the fool that has given up the preciousness of gold and silver and high technology. You know, I don't know how many of you have an iPod around here, but not many, you know, but it doesn't matter. I'm just saying there's a lot of people with all kind of stuff and they're not happy. But we have the real stuff. And by virtue of his life and his nature and his way, things that would mean nothing or things that would just be superficial mean everything to us. They're so precious. They're so an opportunity of being with him and not being about our own way. Not with our own view. Does anybody want different eyes? Well, the only way you can get different eyes is get a different head. And that's going to have to be Jesus. That's going to have to be the way that he sees. Don't pray that you see things different. Pray that you change out heads. That's right. Yeah, that's what Paul did. He changed heads. They cut one of them off. Huh? And he had another head, and that's Christ. Thank God. That's beautiful to somebody who understands it. It's like a disaster for somebody who doesn't. Praise God. All right. A blemish. Well, I didn't finish reading this little thing. I read the last part of 21 says, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. He can still eat even the most holy. Only he shall not go in into the veil, nor come near into the altar, because he hath a blemish. That he profane, or there's that word profane is similar to perverse in that it is violating the holy with that which is us instead of him. Bringing the blemished in and expecting God to accept it. Because he hath a blemish. That he profane not my sanctuary, for I, the Lord, do sanctify. He's the one that sanctifies. If you're a priest, he's the one that sanctified the priesthood in you. If it's an offering you give, he's the one that sanctifies the offering by being that which is given. He's the one. You know, we always see that picture of everybody gathered around the throne, right? You know, like in heaven, and there's all these nations and races, which is not right, but I'll one day get into the real show of exactly what the scriptures are trying to say with that. But we see that, and we see Jesus on a big throne, like King Jesus. Folks, that is the Holy of Holies. Do you understand? That's Jesus sitting on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And when it comes to the Holy of Holies, folks, everything that the high priest who was blemished, any high priest that came along other than Jesus was blemished, but was covered over until the time that the true high priest could fill out his body. So he was covered over. He was covered over with garments, white. He was covered over with oil. He was covered over with incense, man. So that when he walked in there, God saw nothing but the sweet savor of Christ. He saw nothing but the fine linen, which is Christ. He saw nothing but the oil. He saw nothing but the blood. All of us, Christ, 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 Christ. So that he said, okay, I'm accepting you as Jesus until the time comes when you're dead, and it really will be Jesus. It's called the New Testament. You're not just covered over, covered up. You're new. And he makes it all new. He's the newness of it. It's not just he did new things for you. He's the newness of it. He makes all things new. So it's talking about this bread thing. And it says, let me just read a little bit here. Blemished priest is still of God. A blemished priest is still of God. Therefore, he could eat of the sacrifices and the bread like all other priests. He could sit down at the table with an unblemished priest and eat. And they could talk and fellowship. And that's about all you can do when you're sitting at the table, is talk and fellowship. Am I right or wrong? Because when it comes time to get up and go do it, not so fast. You know, everybody's getting up and the blemished priest starts getting up. These boys are heading to the altar and they're heading in behind the veil. And sorry, you have to do one thing. Keep eating this bread until that's what the Father sees. Not a blemished priest anymore. You eat until you're changed. You eat until you conform. You eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. You put him on the inside. And he says, Jesus said, even as I live by the Father, talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, meaning bringing that reality on the inside, so you will live by me. But not unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. So eating this bread is, You're not, as a priest, you're not an individual, man. You're a tribe. Amen? Come on. Get with me, baby. I'm on your side. As a priest, you're not an individual. You're a tribe. And you represent something to the Lord, not just the chosen people. You are the people chosen to bear the life, to bear the offerings before the Lord, but not that priest. You haven't eaten enough until you're changed. That's what he's saying. You need to keep eating that bread until you are bread. You need to eat your way out of the individual blemished dude sitting at this table. You need to eat your way out of it. You know, most of you want to fight your way out of it. You want to do spiritual warfare out of it. I rebuke this blemish in the name of Jesus. Well, you're rebuking you, which is proper. I rebuke you too. You know, but I mean, that's it. You know, we're trying to rebuke it off of us instead of die. And not just die to that individual form and come into a new form, which is bread. And so what that requires is you got to eat of it enough until it's life in you. Until it's life in you. So he says, I wrote this, but it says a blemished priest is still of God. Therefore he could eat of the sacrifices, but he was restricted from offering the bread of God. You can't be offering this to God or anybody else, any of the other priests, until it's life in you. In other words, what you offer, what you give to others has to be what you are. Can I get amen? This is more than a message. You can't offer You can't enter behind the veil or approach the altar. My God. You're not even in New Testament yet. The whole point of New Testament was the veil was rent, right? You're not even New Testament yet. You're still an individual guy trying to gain stature, trying to get God to heal you or fix your blemishes or take them away. And I'm fasting, and I hope this fasting will do it. When he's saying be crushed up, brought to an end of that form, that's all, brought to an end of that form, and come into the new form that I have for you. That's all that he's saying. And you can't approach the altar because you hadn't died. You know, and you're not going to die. You're not going to die until you've eaten enough of this where you see why you have to die. Because just to tell you that you have to die can be irritating. I mean, can it not be? I mean, it can be irritating. Shut up. You know, why do you always have to talk about death? I've had people tell me that before. Why do you always have to talk about death? Why don't you talk about resurrection? Because you'll apply that to you. And the death hadn't happened, so there's no need to ever talk about resurrection until there's a death. You know, well, when will you talk about resurrection? When you finally die. Okay? You know, it's that simple. If we are blemished, God does not heal us, but declares that our only hope is the unblemished one himself. All right. So, beginning in verse 18 is a list of blemishes that keep it from being Christ in us. As long as we hold on to these blemishes, we are stopping it from being Christ in us because we're maintaining our right or our situation. Well, we need to take a break because it's time to do that. But when we come back, we'll start in on these blemishes and we'll take however long it takes, however many classes to go through and begin to examine these blemishes in light of what is not Christ or what is us, and come to a place at the end where we will be unblemished, meaning it will be Christ who can now offer the bread of his God.